And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. And we'll stop right there and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, be with us now. Be with me as I enter into this passage of scripture. Lord, help me relay the thoughts as you've given them to me. Help me, Lord, to do right by your word tonight. Lord, help us to have attentive ears and undistracted minds, that, Lord, we may get something out of your word. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I don't like, when it comes down to conferences, I don't like to give a specific theme that preachers have to preach by. But you will notice on the flyer, there's one there. And I told every preacher that's come, hey, brother, do you have a theme? I said, I do, but do not feel compelled to go by it. I'd much rather the Holy Spirit lead you than something I put on a piece of paper a few months ago. But as I looked at it, the reason why I thought of that idea or thought of this verse when I thought about our conference is it is very easy for a modern day Baptist church, people like you and me, to be caught doing precious little. To be doing very little. You know, and we think about all the work that we put in for this, and, you know, that's wonderful. But how much work could I say as an independent child of God am I really putting in to the Great Commission every day? You know, even the pastor of a Baptist church can be guilty of not giving his all to the Great Commission. Which, by the way, is why the church exists, by the way. Not to sing you to sleep until the day you die, but for us to have a purpose and a calling, and for us to abide by that purpose and that calling. What am I doing in the world today that is showing the light of Christ? What am I doing today that is being the salt of the earth? Who am I telling about the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness? I knew a lot of people over the last year, or last couple of years, to put their whole personality into politics. They put their whole personality into COVID or anti-COVID. But they were children of God. That is not all you are supposed to be. I'm not saying we're not allowed to talk about politics. I'm not saying we're not allowed to talk about health concerns or things like that. But if that is all you ever talk about, you have lost your savor as salt. You are a dim light bulb. And I don't want to be a dim light bulb. I don't want to be repurposed for I don't want to be a vessel for something unworthy. If I've got God's work to do, there's no other work that would satisfy. I heard of a preacher just recently left the ministry so they could go jump into politics. Brother, that is not where God wants you to be. We need men in the pulpit. We need people, church members, faithful to be here, faithful to carry the gospel, faithful to do the work, faithful to be there for God in every situation of their lives. We need people who are not standing, gazing, waiting for the return of God. We ought to be waiting, but what kind of waiting should we be doing? An active waiting, a working waiting. I've often used the illustration. My mom got upset by this. She says, you tell them too much. I go, yeah, I know. You know, if my mom, on Thursdays, we knew mom got paid. Mom got paid on one Thursday, dad got paid on another Thursday. That was our eating out day. We'd get to go to McDonald's or Wendy's, and man, we'd be excited, but guess what? We still had to do chores. We did. And there was always that fear, man. If we did not get our stuff done, we'd get in trouble. We'd have to go someplace boring for dinner with no Happy Meal. Right? No pizza. We'd end up having to go to like Olive Garden or something lame like that, you know? No bounce house in there. What am I supposed to do? No ball pit. But no, as we're waiting for the Lord, we're supposed to be waiting and working, getting our chores done. You know, they sat there, and I'll tell you what, I don't blame them for staring. I've never seen that before. Just a person go up the way the Lord did. I'd be sitting there for a second to see what else happened, right? It's like a movie. Nowadays, you got to wait to the end just to see if something else happens, right? So you just, I get it, but you can't stand there all day. Listen, I am assured 100% that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm assured 100%. That is going to happen whether I'm watching out my window or not. It's going to happen whether I am there to watch the eastern sky or whether I am working. So I might as well be doing something. And that was my heart with that, to put that on the flyer. It was just an idea, but it is so easy for churches today to be caught doing nothing. I'm not talking about fancy programs and, hey, look underneath your pew, there's the keys to a truck, you know. I'm not talking about that. I told you before there was that Baptist thing. They were giving away, like they'd pay people's gas bill. They'd put a $100 bill under a pew. Randomly, a greeter would give a new visitor $100. Or if you brought so many, you'd get this or that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you having a very real conversation with somebody who needs to hear the gospel. I'm talking about us filling those waters, putting people inside of it. Talk about hands going up to bring people into the congregation. I'm talking about Sunday school classes and discipleship teaching, people to come and sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Are we doing the work? Not just filling pews, but are we effectively giving the gospel to save lives? Are we effectively standing as good witnesses, as good teachers, as good mentors to those who are struggling or those who are new to the Christian walk? If I want to be on fire for God, number one, yes, my sin must be clear. Number two, I have to be focused on Him. Oh, man, but if I'm not about His business, there'll be no fire. If I'm not about that business. If I'm going to be changed and I'm going to have a productive week this week, right? And we measure production on a lot, right? How many people did we feed this? You know, we'll sit there, we'll keep track of how many people came in, right? Well, and I hope to see the numbers, right? 130 for this meal, brother. Or somebody took two plates. We don't know. You know, I'd love to, but that's not my measurement for it. If I come out on Thursday night closer to God, more healed up, rested up, and maybe I grew a little bit, that's success. If that happens to you, that's success. If we are going to have success this week, we need to stop standing around and gazing. As these preachers are up here preaching, I have no intention of just staring at them and weighing out. Oh, you see, I don't think they use that verse right. Oh, you know what? I see that guy used that guy's verse. Oh, I don't plan on doing any of that. I plan on taking notes. And you know I can't preach it because we all heard it together, right? I can't steal their sermons. But listen, I plan on taking notes. I plan on listening. I plan on focusing on it. Because I don't know what they're going to bring this week, but I know someone's going to preach about me. And I'm going to look for that person. We went down to the conference in Clarksville, and Danielle and I, we had a time getting down there. We had obstacle after obstacle. And as I was driving down, I go, there is something down here the devil does not want me to hear. And I drove all the way down there for a Michigander to set me right. God's ironic sometimes. I go, there it is. And there were several sermons. It was right off the bat. I sat there. I go, that's the sermon. That's the sermon. Okay, now this one. And I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating. There was seven or eight of those sermons. I go, you preached that at me. There was nobody else in the room. It was me and that guy picking on me. That's what it was. I'm going to be looking at these sermons the same way. What is it that he is saying that I lack? What is it that he's telling me about up there that I'm not representing properly? I'm going to be looking for that. I'm going to be writing that down. And I'm not just going to write it down. I'm going to go back over those notes. Oh, how quickly the mind forgets basic things. So I'm going to go back over. Thankfully, we've got the technology. We'll put it up on the website. You've got a cell phone. You can get those sermons again. And I hope you are taking advantage of the website. I know it doesn't cost us all that much to keep up on it, to host that. But there's a lot of sermons on there. I hope you take the time to go back through. If not mine, at least any of the other thousand that are on there. To go back over and hear it again. To saturate our minds with that thought that came from the Bible. And to ponder it. Well, I don't think that applies to me. Well, ponder it. Let's see. Are you missing something? You ever think you're right and you ain't? Happens all the time. Oh, no, I didn't think I had a problem with that until I looked over and I saw that I had a problem with that. Right? You think about David. Who did that? You're the man. Oh, I'm the man? No, you're the man. You're the man. Sometimes it's you. And you don't think it's you. So we listen. We meditate. We be honest. What does that say? And many of us will run across things that maybe it's not true for me to know right now, but maybe that's a good thing for me to put in my pocket and save for later. Maybe it's something for me to put up as a defense so that that sin, that problem, that ache, that pain does not show up in my life. To protect me from it happening. Right? It's how inoculations work, isn't it? It's how those vaccines work. Right? I get that shot in the arm. I never had measles before. And now I don't. Right? Maybe that's what we need. We need that biblical vaccine to prevent us from catching that sin or catching that trouble or not developing in the right way. So pay attention, take notes, go back over them in your head, read back through those notes, pray on what it is that you have heard. Lord, please show me where in my life to put this thing. We need to investigate those things. Now, I'm pretty good at that. I'll sit there, and if a preacher's preaching on something, and every now and then, because I don't listen to a lot of riffraff, I listen to a lot of the people we consort with, but every now and then I'll catch something, I'll go, oh, that's not quite right. I'll pick up the phone and say, guess what you did? No, I won't do that. I'll call him and say, hey, brother, have you ever considered this? Oh. And you better believe people do the same thing for me, and I go, oh, right? Now, we're not just investigate it to see if there's anything wrong, but investigate it to see how it's right, what more is there about it, what more can I learn about this topic, and how can I apply this to my situation? And then there's decisions that have to be made. As they stood there and they stared up into the sky, they were stuck. Many of us, we feel stuck. My prayer life ain't grown in a while. I ain't the soul winner I ought to be. I ain't the Bible reader, Bible studier I ought to be. I ain't the Christian I ought to be. All our woes and our complaints about ourselves, we sit there and we feel stuck in them. You got to shake out of it. God thankfully sent two people two angels, I believe, to come down in this raiment and shoot them out of it. Hey, you men of Galilee, what are you staring up into space for? This had to happen. He'll come back the way he left. You go about your business. We need to get about our business. We need to shake out of it. There is nothing putting us in a bad position. If you find yourself in one situation or another in your Christian life, doesn't matter what it is, you ain't really stuck there. I want you to think about that for a second. Are you really stuck there? Or have you made a decision? Now, these are things we have control over, right? The people who aren't here today because they're at home sick, or if we've got limitations, physical, mental, whatever, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about times when I could be serving the Lord, and I sit there and I say, nah, I'll do something else, right? Hey, what? Where are you guys going tonight? Oh, we're just doing a thing tonight. Well, don't you have church on Wednesdays? Oh, yeah, we're going to church. That's a decision. By the way, not inviting folks, not telling folks where we are, what we're doing, not giving the gospel, that's a decision. Not reading your Bible, that's a decision. Not praying, that's a decision. And you make that decision so often, you stop thinking about the thing you were supposed to do. And then where are you? You're in a rut. My pastor used to say a rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out of it. That's what it is. You'll die in that rut. Well, I won't lose my salvation. Yeah, but is that how you want your story to go? I never lost my salvation, but I was stuck in a rut for 40 years. I was stuck there my entire Christian life. I never developed this ability, never developed this strength, never grew past it because I settled for less. Oh, what I want instead is I want to get shaken out of that. I want to be pushed out. Whatever sin is in my life, I want it out. Whatever problem there is in my growth, I want it fixed. I want to get back on track. And wherever I am, wherever I'm not where I ought to be in ministry, that's where I want to be. Right? Wherever it is, when it comes down to the service of the Lord, if I'm struggling in that department, I want to get it right. Because life's too short to be living in a rut. Life's too short to not have the not fulfill the potential God gave you. There ain't nobody other than His children walking around this planet with His strength upon them. There's nobody here that's got the ability to escape temptation other than His children. All we have need to do is ask Him for strength and wisdom and knowledge. All we need to do is get down on our knees and ask our Father, and He'll give it to us. So there is no excuse. It is all a choice. Again, barring the waning and waxing of the body and mind, of course, in time things happen, but it's the choices we make that hurt us. The choices. I want to shake out of whatever it is I'm stuck in. And whatever it is I'm not doing, I want to start doing. Because there's no use being useless. You ever hear that phrase? Used to have a boss that would do that. No use being useless. Let's go. No use being useless. Come on. I'm paying you for something. Let's go. I'm no use to the Lord when I'm not doing something. I'm really not. You know, you think about, we got a lot of cool stuff in that kitchen, only gets used once a year. Only gets used once a year. But for that 1 week we're using it, man, we're glad we got it. That's not how we're supposed to be as Christians, though. Where we come alive one time a year. Oh, okay, all right, let's do some things. Let's talk about our church. Hey, let's invite some people to the conference. Hey, let's do this, let's do that. No, I want to always be in use. I've known people in the hospital still giving the gospel. They ain't been to church in weeks because of their bodily health being so bad, but they're still out there serving the Lord. Why? Because there's no downtime for them. What they wanted, what the Lord told them to do is what exactly was they wanted to do. And it's what they planned on doing, and it's what they did. Ultimately, we know this, we'll give an account for this old life of ours. If we spent too much time gazing, too much time staring off, we need to be focused. Luke 12:41, verse 41, then Peter said unto them, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now he's saying something very specific there, but there's an illustration I can't escape. There's a picture I can't escape. What do you want to be doing on the day you die? Think about it. A lot of us, we put off handling things. Oh, I'll address this problem in my marriage later on down the road. I'll address this issue with my prayer life further on down. I will become the soul winner, the church member I'm supposed to be later on when things calm down. What if you die before that day comes? And you've left promises unfulfilled. And you were that servant that said, well, the Lord didn't come back today and he didn't come back yesterday. I doubt he will come back tomorrow. So let's have a little free time. Let's sin a little. Let's relax a little. Let me do things wrong a little. Let me hurt some people a little. You don't want to be caught doing that. Imagine what you'd be doing if the Lord came back and brought the rapture. What would you be caught doing? What would be left undone or unsaid? And also I have to think, you know, when we're judged before the Lord, we're going to be judged based on the works that we did. And I'll tell you what, just knowing how things normally go with me, I'll probably be behind some martyr who sacrificed everything in their life for the cause of Christ. And they're going to have all these crowns, and they're going to lay all these crowns at Jesus' feet. Then they're going to call me up, and I'm going to want to do everything but be there in that moment. Now they say, oh, well, it's a much better judgment because God's not going to weigh out our sin. No, he's going to weigh out the good things we do, and some of us here in America need to be real concerned about that. To have nothing to offer him because we sang songs about someday and one day. Because we sinned for a season, expecting a different season to come. If you develop a taste for wrongdoing, if you develop a taste for laziness, it is hard to undo that. It's a hard drug to quit. We ought not play with it. We ought to live every day with the understanding that yes, he can come back, will come back when we least expect it. And what kind of a servant is he going to find when he does? We need to commit to the purpose we're here for. We need to look for opportunities to serve God. Whew, when was the last time you looked for an opportunity? I used to pray all the time, Lord, give me an opportunity to give some of the gospel. I stopped praying that. You want to know why? Because they're all around me. That's like asking for oxygen or trees. We got them. All right? There's people all around me. What I started to pray for was boldness. Lord, give me the boldness to take the opportunities you give me because I know you're going to give them to me. How about this one? We pray that the Lord would help us in our sin. But you know, the Lord gives us that help and we bypass those barriers. We're like the person that hits the snooze button on the alarm clock. Who invented the snooze button, by the way? What lazy person thought, I want to get up at this time unless I don't, in which case I want 5 more minutes. I wonder about that person. I know why it's popular, because that's fun, isn't it? It's like a special little treat for yourself in the morning. 5 more minutes. That's not who we are as Christians. It's not who we should be. Don't be lazy. Don't fall down. Don't be back. Look for opportunities. Take opportunities. Don't hit snooze button on the opportunities. Don't hit the snooze button. I saw somebody that showed me, like, this is my alarm when I'm going to get up early and exercise and make my lunch. This is the alarm if I bypass that alarm where I at least have time to make my lunch. This is the alarm that goes off if I'm too tired from the first one and I just have time to shower and go to work. This one is if I don't get a shower that day. I wake up, no shower. I go, what is wrong with you? You had the opportunity to get up and work out, and I ain't picking on people who don't work out in the morning. You know I ain't. But you had the opportunity to do this, and you let it slip by. Then you had the opportunity for a handmade lunch, and you let that slip by. And then you let your shower slip by, and that's just a bummer for all of us. I could soul win. I could give the gospel, but I don't. I could read my Bible, but I don't. I could pray, but I don't. I could be a witness and an encouragement and somebody who cares for others. I could be a burden bearer for others. But, you know, I got so much going on right now. It's a brand new month for Netflix. They got new stuff coming out. I have things to do. No, take the opportunities. Look for the opportunities. Take them as you get them. And then, when you get good with the opportunities you have, create opportunities. You know, that's what I do with stuff like this. I try to create opportunities to talk to people. And I've told you my story. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's not a very happy thing. I'm very excited to see church things. Right? I got another opportunity this week to do one of my favorite things, like $50 on the line. If you could find where in the Constitution says separation between church and state, I need to start betting people $50. But I'm a church member, so I don't. But man, if I did, I'd be raking it in, raking it in. But no, we make opportunities, not by being irritating, not by doing some of the fun things I do. I call it making friends. I've never actually made a friend saying something sarcastic, but not being sarcastic or mean, but presenting the gospel. You know, I could win a social debate, and that ain't going to help me give the gospel. Could. Ain't going to help. Proving that people are wrong for the way they look, the way they dress, the philosophies they follow, that ain't going to help them. We need to preach Jesus Christ. I think that's why we struggle, is if you're not preaching Jesus Christ, you ain't preaching. You're ranting. You're raving. You need to preach Jesus Christ, or else you've got nothing going. And we need to press on in the right way. We need to press on in the right way. Join me here back in Acts. Verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. For this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Got a little graphic there, Peter, but let's get to the point. Verse 19, and it was known, unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, and we're going to skip ahead a little bit, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. How do we snap out of this standing and gazing and become an active, busy church all throughout the year? What was the first thing they did? They were staring up. What'd they do? They went back to the room where they were staying. There was 120 of them in that room as they would have their meeting. The church was 120 people deep. That's what it was. They met together. And what were they? They were in one accord. A Honda? No. They were in fellowship. They were in unity together. See, it's one thing for one person to be on fire, but we all must be on fire. We've all got to have the same mind. We've all got to have the same drive, the same conviction to serve God with our church if we're going to amount to anything in this world. If we're going to stand the test of time, we need to side with God together. They got together in one accord. That means when there is bitterness, when there is trouble, when there is planning, when there is a job to do, when there is something, we come together and we get it done. Minds together, hands together, whatever it is that we've got to do, we do it. And I tell you this, as a church, we've got no problem with that, but we got to make sure we're doing the right things. We got to make sure we're doing the right things. We got to make sure we're doing those things together as one team, as one body. The church must come together. In order for any kind of revival to take place, in order for any kind of work to take place, the church must be united under the cause of Christ. No sin in my life, no sin in your life. No unforgiveness in my life, no unforgiveness in your life. Right? There was a preacher one time, he brought me over to his home. He knocked on the door. He had a bunch of, he had daughters in his house. So he said, well, brother, just stay right here. Knocked on his own door, poked his head, and he goes, is everybody decent and in their right mind? I laughed so hard. Till I had kids, now I understand. Everyone decent and in their right mind? Yeah! And you still don't know if you trust it. Still don't know if you trust it, right? There is still going to be somebody somewhere who either ain't decent in body or in mind, but either way, are you decent? Are you in the right mind? If you're decent and in your right mind and I'm decent in my right mind, we're going to be able to get some stuff done. We're going to be able to do some mighty things. But if we're off, we're all off. It's like rowers. Someone's just a second behind. We lose. We struggle. It's very hard. We must all be of one accord. What is it that they came together in one accord in being? They were in prayer and supplication, as the scripture says here. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And I mentioned the people who were there. They prayed. They prayed together. Our prayer bands, I mentioned that in ours this afternoon, they should never become bland. They should never become passé. They should never become the usual business. They should never just become part of the daily ritual. We got to have some power in them. We've got to be digging for them. For your friend who has cancer, for your sister, your child, your loved one with his illness, for this car wreck, for that pregnancy, for this family trouble, we need to be lifting those prayer requests up and keeping them up high. In one accord. I love praying all together. Hope you didn't think it was awkward. But as a church, we need to pray together. And not just our casual, Lord, please bless the song service. Lord, please bless the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the devotion giver, the guy frying the chicken over there at the restaurant right now. No, we need real prayer. Not to say that our daily prayers aren't, not to say that our congregational prayers aren't, but they need to be on fire because of the one we are talking to. Because of the one we're talking to. We need prayer and supplication. Both in our private lives and as a church. Nothing can be done without the Lord. Nothing. We can make shows. We can try to put on a face. But if we don't have the Lord, it will show. It'll show. You know, I've been a part of churches. I don't think the Holy Spirit's ever been in. You know, they call themselves this or that. I was talking to a teacher. They gave me a hard time. They were having, they wanted to have practice when I was supposed to be at church, and that was during my classes. And I wasn't going to miss my preacher's training classes to go to this extra practice he put on because he wanted us to do really, really good. And I got into a discussion with him, and I said, "Listen, I go, this extra practice ain't going to do no good because you don't actually teach music." I go, so I'm going to go to this. He goes, well, I'm a Christian, and I don't think you ought to go. So that's too bad, you oughta. Would you believe I got in trouble for lipping off to my teacher? All the time, brother, all the time. I'm a Christian, I don't think you, I'm a deacon in my, he was a deacon of a Lutheran church. I'm a deacon, and I'm telling you, you ain't got to go. I don't know who you are, but you ain't the Lord Jesus Christ. He called me into ministry. I made a commitment that I was going to go to do something, and that's where my commitment is first. Well, you got to decide. I did, and you don't accept it. That's it. And I sound so calm and cool today saying it, but I was shaking, man. Shaking like a leaf. This guy's going to put me in detention. This guy's going to expel me. Oh, I'm going to be in trouble. No, I made my commitment. No, sir. No, sir. We need the Lord. When we compromise. You know, I think about that guy. He was so proud of his deaconship. He was so proud of his church membership. But it didn't bother him to do so many different things. I sat there at one particular time and I was talking to him. I go, how can you be the deacon of the church and have a bunch of teenagers sing a song with this phrase in it? Well, you gotta learn, you know, you ain't gotta be that straight-laced. He was proud of his title, but he was far from Christ. He was proud, oh, I'm a member for X amount of years and give this amount of money, you know. If you ain't one with Christ, you ain't nothing. And that is, and that'll happen with any one of a really good Baptist today. You look good, you smell good, you walk good, you act right. But it's dead between you and the Lord. Over here's where we have the Sunday school classes. Members gave money. We put brand new Xboxes. This was back when the Xbox first came out. Brand new Xboxes in the Sunday school classes. The kids love them. Well, what do they learn? Well, mostly we just figure if they're in the church, they're doing good. Have a good day. Mama said if I didn't have anything nice to say, say nothing at all. And there's your door that would facilitate me saying nothing at all. If the Lord ain't in it, it ain't nothing. You'd have 1,000 people playing Xbox, but the Lord ain't in it. You could have 1,000 people filling the pews. You could sit there, even at a good church, and you could abide there, and you could give money there. But if there ain't nothing going on here between you and the Lord, you're busted. You're busted. What should we do? We need to make sure we're one with the Lord. We need prayer. We need direction from Him. What I would also say that we need is to commit to seeing great things. Commit to seeing great things. You know, these pews. And I want to be careful with what I say here because I don't want to fill the pews for the sake of filling pews. I want to go find the elect and bring them in. But I want you to pay close attention to what I just said there. I want to go get them and bring them in. I want to meet them at the grocery store. I want to see them at their doorstep when I'm putting a door hanger on. I want to meet them as I'm walking about at a parade or something like that. When I go down to the library, I talk to people, hey, why don't you come on over? But that's not going to happen if it's just me doing it. And that's not going to happen if I ain't doing it. We all must do it. Well, fill the church with a bunch of people ain't saved. They'll hear the gospel. Well, listen, this ain't prime real estate, folks. We got room. I ain't saying that, again, it's not to get numbers. It's to get people to hear the gospel. On their doorstep as well as in these pews, I want people to hear the gospel. That ain't going to happen if we ain't doing the work. You know? I don't want to be that pastor that, well, during this time and this time, the church didn't have a lot of activity inviting people. What did you do about that? Well, you see, Lord, we figured it was at the end times. and not a lot of people were coming, and it wasn't very popular. So, Lord, we just figured it wasn't your will. You know what he would do to me as the pastor? Now, again, there's no punishment there. I don't have to worry about him smacking me around at the throne. But I don't want to look him in the eye and say, Lord, we just figured what you said to do, we didn't have to do because it'd been so long. You know, like Aaron and those people waiting for Moses. We don't know what happened to you, Lord. So we just did what was right in our own eyes, and we preached wonderful sermons about doctrine, and we all amened and sang songs and had a fellowship every now and then, and we just waited for your son to come back. And that is why when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as the pastor, that'll be one less thing I have to hand over. Why each and every one of us, when we stand before the Lord, there'll be no soul winner's crown for us to hand over because we were satisfied. We'll sit there, well, how come you didn't do this or that? Well, I got into this sin, and it always kept me on the fringe, on the edge of the church. I always knew that was something I should have done. I really should have participated more in this or that, but, you know, I just never felt it. And that's one less thing I stand before and give that to the Lord. You know, I preserved my word for quite some time to make sure it got to your desk. How come you didn't pick it up very often? I sent my son to die on the cross for your sins so that you and I could talk, but you never picked up the phone. I don't want to stand before my Lord that way. So listen, if I want to be any different, and I want to use preaching, the preaching that's coming up, to set my life on the proper order, I can't just be gazing while they're talking. And I got to decide that I want to see great things, and I apply the Word of God so that I can do great things. Maybe the great thing for you is just being able to read more, study more, pray for longer. Have a more healthy walk and relationship with God. Maybe it's seeing a soul walk down this aisle. Maybe it's being able to put your hand up for that visitor you invited. Maybe it's being there on the day we baptize them. Maybe it's sitting there with a group of 5 or 6 new Christians and going over basic Bible doctrine with them in a Sunday school class. Maybe that's the great thing we're waiting for. Either way, we can't do those great things. We're not going to do those great things if we're still sat here waiting for the Lord to come back. I'll repeat this and I promise I'll be done. I'm almost early. Almost. He's coming back. I ain't got to wait for him. I can wait busy. I can wait busy. He won't mind if he comes to pick me up and I got some sweat on my face. He won't mind if I'm tired when he comes to get me. As a matter of fact, that's when I get to hear, well done. Well done. You knew I was coming, so you hustled. Look at you. As opposed to what? Well, he's coming somewhere between now and a few 1,000 years. I don't know. Might as well just put my feet up till he does. I want to hear well done. Gotta stop gazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen this week, but I know it's in your hands, so I'm ready. Lord, I pray that we would all be ready. All sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us take these next couple days, get our sin right. Lord, help us to repent of things. Help us to seek forgiveness and give forgiveness. Lord, help us to get excited, zealous to serve you, so that, Father, when these 14 sermons come, they can hit us without any distraction. They can hit us without any hang-ups or problems. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to be right with you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.